Hello, this is Pastor Robert from Esterhazy Baptist Church in Esterhazy, Saskatchewan. Thank you for joining us today. This message is for the week of March 20th, 2022. It's entitled, How Can We Possibly Fulfill God's Great Plan? And it's about some concluding thoughts on our series on Ephesians. The call to worship is from Psalm 105, Verses 1 to 3. Give thanks to the Lord, call on his name, proclaim his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him, sing praise to him, tell about all his wondrous works, boast in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Amen. As we come to the end of this series on the letter to the Ephesians, and reflect on what we have learned, it is imperative that we ask ourselves, what should we now do? The Lord has preserved his word so that we may respond in action to it. As we have seen, Paul begins chapter 1 with praise to God for the spiritual blessings he has lavished on us in Christ Jesus. Then, beginning in verse 9, Paul begins to reveal God's plan to bring everything under the authority of Christ and our part in fulfilling that plan. Let the significance of that last part sink in. Our part in fulfilling God's plan is to bring everything under the authority of Christ. How can we possibly fulfill God's great plan? I'm sure Jesus' disciples had that same question. How can we possibly fulfill God's great plan? This was likely a question believers in Ephesus had as well. So Paul reminds them, chapter 1, verses 12 to 14, he says, God's purpose was that we Jews, who were the first to trust in Christ, would bring praise and glory to God. Now you Gentiles have also heard the truth, the good news that God saves you. And when you believed in Christ, he identified you as his own by giving you the Holy Spirit, whom he promised long ago. The Spirit is God's guarantee that he will give us the inheritance he promised, and that he has purchased us to be his own people. He did this so that we would praise and glorify him. God has identified his own people through sending them his Holy Spirit. He has given us his Holy Spirit. Next, Paul shares his prayer for these believers, which reveals one of the main purposes of this letter. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 to 20. Ever since I first heard of your strong faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for God's people everywhere, I have not stopped thanking God for you. I pray for you constantly, asking God, the glorious Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to give you spiritual wisdom and insight so that you might grow in your knowledge of God. I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light so that you can understand the confident hope he has given to those he has called, his holy people, who are his rich and glorious inheritance. I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. Amazing. I would paraphrase part of verses 18 and 19 as that the Spirit of God would enable you to grow in your understanding of the hope, riches, and power God has made available to Christians through Christ Jesus. Paul wants his readers to understand that God is on their side and that he is supplying the power they need to live a life which will bring glory to him. This same power of God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, seated him next to God, and gave him authority in the heavenly realms. This is the power that Paul is saying is available to us. This was for our benefit, Christ's body, the church. The power to accomplish God's great plan comes to us through God himself by his Holy Spirit. This is what we also saw as Paul concluded this letter. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, we read, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power." The power of the Lord is expressed in and through the person of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity. This is what the resurrected Jesus told his disciples in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Jesus said, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." This is exactly what we see taking place in the book of Acts. All the great figures in Acts are empowered by the Holy Spirit: Peter, Stephen, Paul, and Barnabas. William Barclay, in his book, The Promise of the Holy Spirit, observes this: "One of the unmistakable features of Acts is the way in which it tells us that every great decision which the church took was taken under the guidance of the Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit who tells Philip to approach the Ethiopian in his chariot. It is the Spirit who tells Peter that men from Cornelius await him and who bids him to go with them, not doubting. It is the Spirit who tells the prophets and teachers of Antioch to set Paul and Barnabas aside for mission to the Gentiles. And it is by the Holy Spirit that these two are sent out. It is the Spirit who guides and directs the decision of the Council of Jerusalem, whereby the Gentiles are welcomed into the Christian church." Barclay goes on. He says, "The significant fact is that every one of these references to the Spirit is a reference to an occasion on which a decision was taken to bring the gospel to the Gentiles. It was the Spirit who made the church a missionary church, the Holy Spirit. As the first Christians went in the strength of the Lord and the power of his might, that is the Holy Spirit, they took the gospel to the ends of their known world. Now the Holy Spirit is given to all who accept forgiveness from God through the gift of his Son." In Acts chapter 2, verse 38, Peter says, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." The Holy Spirit is a person with whom we have a relationship. He is not an object to be claimed or measured. However, the strength of a relationship can be measured. Being filled with the Holy Spirit means the Spirit of God has full control of your life, having no area of your life not under his authority. Have you ever, on a clear day, heard the sound of a jet and looked up into the sky to try and see it? Well, you might not have been able to see the jet. You likely saw the vapor trails of the jet high above you. The vapor trail left proof the jet was up there. Jesus said something similar in John chapter 3, verse 8, when he compared the Holy Spirit to wind. The wind cannot be seen, but its effects can be seen. Likewise, although you cannot see the Holy Spirit, you can see the results of the Holy Spirit's presence as He is allowed to work in your life. Pastor Tony Evans suggests 5 areas a Christian should be able to observe in their life the Holy Spirit's presence. First of all, as Jesus said in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, you become witnesses about the person and work of Jesus. So first of all, you become a witness about the person and work of Jesus. Witnessing is not something I do, but who I am. And you will be my witnesses, Jesus says. As the Holy Spirit fills you, you become a witness about the person and work of Jesus Christ in your life. Secondly, because of the presence of the Holy Spirit, you will see you worship God not because you have to, but because you want to, in response to a growing relationship. Ephesians chapter 5, the second half of verse 18 through to verse 20 says, be filled with the Holy Spirit, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, and making music to the Lord in your hearts, and give thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So in your life, you should be able to observe the fact that you become a witness about the person and work of Jesus. Secondly, you worship God not because you have to, but because you want to. And thirdly, you will see in your life a mutual submission within the body of Christ. Rather than being selfish, the Spirit at work within allows me to, as Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21 says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. We see this attitude in Jesus' life. Philippians chapter 2, verses 6 to 8 says, Christ was truly God, but he did not try to remain equal with God. He gave up everything and became a slave when he became like one of us. Christ was humble. He obeyed God and even died on a cross. Fourthly, the vapor trail of the Holy Spirit in your life will also be seen as you bear spiritual fruit. As you bear spiritual fruit, that should be something else that you will observe in your life, which will confirm the presence of the Holy Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 tells us about the spiritual fruit. There's a fruit of love, selflessly seeking the will of God for the one you love. There will be evidence of joy, inner contentment, despite our external circumstances, peace, seen in harmony in our relationships, patience, as we surrender our right to hurt when another hurts us, kindness and goodness, seen in loving treatment for those who don't deserve it, faithfulness, meaning dependable commitment God can count on. Gentleness, the ability to submit yourself to the will of God. And self-control, the ability to resist fleshly impulses. So, 5 areas a Christian should be able to observe. We've seen 4 of them. You become a witness about the work of Jesus. You worship God because you want to. Mutual submission within the body of Christ. The evidence of spiritual fruit in your life. And the final way you see the Holy Spirit working in your life is as you are involved in service for Christ. Service for Christ done willingly and for His glory. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 says, the Spirit's presence is shown in some way in each person for the good of all. Now it's important that you evaluate yourself. How am I doing? Is this describing me? And if not, why not? What needs to change? The first thing which needs to be clarified is, do I have a personal relationship with Jesus as my Savior, with Jesus as my sin forgiver, meaning he died for my sins on the cross, I accept that, and my risen Lord? I submit my will for my life to him. He is my life leader. In John chapter 3, Jesus said, you must be born again. You must be reborn by the Spirit of God. That's the first thing you need to clarify. Second, as a Christian, you need to ask, am I resisting God's working in my life? Has God been prompting me to do something and yet I keep saying no? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19 warns us, do not quench the Spirit. The New International Version says, do not put out the Spirit's fire. Follow the Holy Spirit's leading and trust in his strength to accomplish all that God has for you. Third, if as a Christian I am still not experiencing the Holy Spirit at work in my life, I need to ask if I've been ignoring the Holy Spirit's prompting regarding sin in my life. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30 says, and do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. When the Holy Spirit brings a sinful action or attitude of yours to your mind, confess it immediately. Agree with him. It is wrong. Ask for forgiveness and ask for his strength to leave that sin behind. Then remember Paul's words in Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. Let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. That's the answer. So our question we started this message with is, how can I possibly fulfill God's great plan? And the answer is, in the strength our Lord supplies. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. It is possible to stand firm in this battle, but it is not in our strength, but with the strength of God. Be bold. Be strong for the Lord, because the Lord your God is with you. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7 reminds us, for God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. Amen. Thank you, Lord. For the benediction, let me close with Romans chapter 15, verse 13. I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in him. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. The Lord bless you.